Welcome to Play the Advantage U.S. Men's National Team Podcast. I'm Danny Day alongside Cody Carlson. Cody and I were college soccer teammates, and we are big U.S. Men's National Team fans. This podcast covers everything U.S. Men's National Team related. Here we are again, Danny Day alongside Cody Carlson. Cody, we've got our Gold Cup roster for the U.S. Men's National Team. I know you're excited about it. Weeks to come here, we'll have quite a few games to watch, hopefully. But, yeah, how are you doing, though? Let me ask you that first.
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. I'm excited for this roster that's just come out. How are you doing, more importantly? You've been running a bit of a marathon, I hear.
Yeah, I decided to do something for fun. I'm not sure. Some people might not call it fun, but I'm running a marathon over the course of 24 hours, and I'm at mile 17 at the moment. We'll be finishing the marathon overnight into the morning.
And you're stopping to do a quick podcast in between one of some of
that's
your
right.
Medals.
Hey, man, U.S. Men's National Team.
You are crazy.
Always a top priority. Always a top priority. But, yeah, you want to jump into it?
Yeah, let's jump in, man. Let's jump
in. So we got a 23-man roster, and I think you want to work from front to back today.
Yeah, let's talk about, you know, the forward pool first.
Yeah, you want to list out who we got?
Well, Daryl DK, no surprise there. Jossie Zardes, happy that he's in there so we can get an updated look at him, hopefully. And then we've got Nicholas Giacchini is back in the mix for this one. And then we got the young gun, Matthew Hoppe from Schalke, 20 years old. Yep. So... And then if you include, you know, Paul Areola and Jonathan Lewis, you know, as the wingers, you know, but that's kind of the forward pool. So, you know, I like it. I'm most excited about Daryl DK and Jossie Zardes. What's your thoughts on the forwards?
Yeah, I was happy to see Daryl DK's name on there. I think we all expected to see that after him being a part of the Nations League group and playing in that friendly, scoring.
Yeah.
So I think I want to see more of Daryl DK. He needs to get those reps at this first team level.
Yeah.
So I want to see him starting at least two of those three group games, hopefully.
Yeah.
If not all three. Sure. Jossie Zardes, of course, Greg Berhalter knows him very well. Zardes has been in so many different U.S. Men's National Team games over the past few years.
Sure.
He's proven that he can get in front of the goal and score for the U.S. So it'd be interesting to see. He hasn't been in the mix for a little while, so it'd be interesting to see how he does. But, yeah, then you got the other guys. I mean, honestly, Giacchini was a little bit of a surprise for me. He's done well, but, you know, his pedigree maybe isn't as high as some potentially other players. But, I do like the inclusion of Hoppe. I mean, we've only gotten to see a little bit of him for – or Schalke, who's just such a bad team in Germany. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with this talented group. So, yeah, I mean, I think overall the forward group excited, although it's interesting because you look at the forwards and then the midfielder groups, who's going to be your wingers that you're going to. I mean, you got Paul Areola.
Right. Yeah, you got Areola and Lewis. Those are the only two kind of, you know, quote-unquote wingers.
Right.
Sevens or elevens, whatever you want to call them. So, but, you know, I think Greg is kind of in the mindset of, you know, we're going to try, you know, Hoppe out there or Giacchini or Zardes. You know, they can fill in those spots out wide. Maybe it's not ideal, but maybe they can, you know, show something that that's good in those spots, right? So, but I kind of also just want to say, well, with these forwards that we've got, let's run two up top and see what that looks like. Maybe.
Yeah. Right? Maybe they do that.
Yeah. Maybe at least try it in one of the group stage games or something. I mean, I'd love to see Daryl DK and Jossie together. Like what could that look like? Or Matthew Hoppe alongside Daryl DK. DK is the target man and Hoppe's just the annoying pesty running off, you know, whatever Daryl's knocking down to him.
Totally.
So that could be fun to watch, but obviously it strays away from Berhalter's 4-3-3 or 3-4-3.
Right. And I mean, Berhalter has talked about how, I mean, obviously he said from the start when they were looking at this summer that the Nations League group was going to be the first first choice A-list guys,
right?
A lot of the European-based guys. Those guys are all back, you know, having some time to rest now and regroup before they're going back to their preseasons, which some preseasons have already started over back in Europe. So I think that was a pretty strategic move from Berhalter, and different than from what some of the other Mexico and Canada, they're not necessarily doing that with those guys. Alfonso Davies is in the Canada roster.
Right.
And you got Mexico's basically a team with a lot of their European guys in their roster as well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like their full A team, but they definitely have some of their big guns, right? Hector Herrera is back in the mix. Tecatito Corona, Chucky Lozano,
those three right there.
Yeah. And then Efrain Alvarez.
Right,
you
know, I know.
He chose El Tri, right? My Galaxy player, you know.
So super huge talent, huge talent, and you know, he has to do what's best for him. So you know, props to him for making that decision after being in both camps, and it sounds like that's where he said it was best for him. Disappointing for the U.S., obviously, but I think that we're going to see even more and more of that. You saw, you know, we haven't got to the defenders yet, but you know, Julian Araujo declined the call up because he's not ready to make a decision yet, because obviously this Gold Cup would be cap tying if he played for the U.S. And I'm sure him and Berhalter and, you know, constant communication, he knows kind of maybe where he's at, that right back pecking order. But you know, that there's so many dual nationals for both Mexico and U.S.
Yep.
You see this first one here for Efrain Alvarez, of this kind of current group of dual nationals, and now potentially Julian Araujo. We're interested to see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, he rightly so, you know, is looking at the right back pool, and that's probably our deepest spot, right? I mean, you know, we're working back to front, but since you brought up, you know, Araujo and the right back spot, why don't we jump in there and just kind of skip over to the right back spot? So we got Reggie Cannon and then Shaq Moore, who's suddenly back in the mix here and, you know, had kind of fallen off, and he plays in Spain in the second division.
Right. He played during that kind of gap here after we failed to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And he got some time during that when a lot of different players were getting you know, appearances. Now getting his first time back in. I'm interested to see. I really don't know too much about Shaq Moore, but hopefully Berhalter does give him a chance to feature so we can actually see what we have with him.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's 24. Reggie Cannon's 22. I mean, I just don't know how much Shaq can really break into the right back pool, right? And with so many guys, Dest, you know, you got Reggie, obviously. DeAndre Yedlin was a starter for in the Nations League final. So, we'll see about that one. Let's move over to left backs. Left backs, we got Sam Vines out of Colorado Rapids and George Bello out of Atlanta United.
Yeah,
Bello, 19 years old. Sam Vines, 22 years old. What are your thoughts there, Danny?
Yeah, based on the press conference from Berhalter, it sounds like that position, at least for this camp, is going to be kind of open for competition. Be interesting to see who. I imagine just because of the experience, Vines is going to get the nod, at least to start in that first game or two. But I hope we do see Bello and get a chance to see him feature. He's had a number of bright spots throughout these last couple of years for Atlanta United.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he has one cap, but would be good to see him, what he can do in a pressure situation here against top-level CONCACAF opponents. So I'm hoping we see a little bit of both of them because that left-back spot, right? And we got Anthony Robinson over there.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, we really don't have anyone else. So definitely one of our maybe you could say weaker spots in some senses in terms of depth.
Well, and it tells you something that if Anthony Robinson wasn't the decision, then instead of going with Vines or Bello, you put Dest over there first before you do that, right? So that's where we're at right now. So I think it's important to see how these guys kind of develop right now and, evaluate how they are right now and then see how they can develop it in terms of depth. You know, it's always good to have a left-footed left back, right?
Right.
So, okay, let's move to, you know, center back options. So center back pool, we got Walker Zimmerman, Miles Robinson.
Yeah, happy to see Miles in there for sure.
Yeah, and I think those two would be my kind of pending starters
Yeah,
for this
I think you're
group.
right there. Yeah.
James Sands at a New York City FC, he's 20 years old. And then Donovan Pines, DC United and former Maryland Terps. He's 23. I remember
Okay.
seeing him play in the College Cup at UC
Okay.
Santa Barbara his senior
Yeah.
year with Maryland. And I was like, who's the 6'5 center back who's looks like a, you know, kind of like a brontosaurus, like a dinosaur just
Yeah.
towering over everyone, didn't lose a header.
Wow.
But to see him called up here, I'm kind of like, okay, our center back pool is maybe not as strong as we want it to be right now.
Right. Well, yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, those both Pines and Sands, neither of them have any experience with the U.S. men's national team. So
Right.
those are, I think, are definitely going to be your backups to Miles Robinson and Walker Zimmerman. So yeah, I think Sands, I mean, has shown. I don't know as much about Pine. It sounds like he came through the college ranks in the U.S. And I think it's
Yeah.
been neat to see that we have had a number of players, even in the U.S. men's national team over the years, who have come through the college ranks and
Yeah.
didn't just go straight to pro. But
Yeah.
Sands, yeah, has really shown well for New York City FC. Some even can, you know, he plays center back for them. Some even could see him potentially playing the six, but I think
Right.
he'll be a center back position with the at least the midfielding crew that we have
Yeah.
coming in for this team.
Yeah. Well, midfield and crew, you want to move it up? We'll
Yeah,
jump
well,
up to the sixth spot.
I'm
Your
glad we kept
favorite.
this to last. Yeah, because I think that there's it will be very either infuriating or exciting to see, I think, what Berhalter does here.
One or
I saw
the other, huh?
a quote from him, something along the lines of he can't picture a U.S. men's national team roster right now without Jackson Yule, Reggie Cannon, Kellen Acosta, and
Sebastian
Sebastian
Legette.
Legette, right? You saw that too. And so I may be okay with three of those guys. The Jackson Yule one is, I mean, I'm hoping that Berhalter watched the tape of that Honduras game, but he hasn't been playing well for San Jose either.
No, he hasn't.
And I think my worry here and concern is that he just is so steadfast on getting Jackson Yule back to getting back in form for the U.S. and is just going to eat up all those minutes for guys like I mean, I want to see, right, Eric Williamson. I want to see Gianluca Busio. I want to see those
Definitely need
guys
to see
play.
those two. Yeah, we need
Yeah.
to see those two guys. And I'll be upset too if Jackson's eating up all the minutes and Williamson and Busio aren't getting a chance. I would prefer Jackson to play over Christian Roldan, I will say that. I think Roldan is he's the least exciting out of the midfielders, the central
Yeah.
midfielders that we've got right now. I'd rather
Yeah, and
see
I think
Kellen Acosta or
yeah.
Legette or Williamson or Busio ahead of him.
Yeah. Well, and I think Kellen Acosta, he's been like a kind of this up and down player for me. But man, I mean, despite having that rough start against Mexico, you know, a little bit of shaky first, 30 minutes, he really settled into the game and prove just how versatile I think he's going to be for this U.S. men's national team. I mean, he ends up finishing the game at left back, right? And so I think we kind of know a little
He's
bit more that we have
25
with
now.
him.
Yeah,
Okay.
Kellen Acosta,
Yeah.
he's 25 now. And, he's definitely got that experience factor for him and
Yeah.
a little bit more of veteran kind of leadership and all
Yeah.
that and versatility, like you're saying. I mean, he could play six, he could play eight, he could play left back,
I
right?
take him
And,
I take him over Jackson Yule right now for sure,
as a
in that
six.
kind of a sixth position if it was between the two of them.
In a game we must win.
Yeah, I mean obviously hopefully we have Tyler Adams available, but in the case that we don't, which based on Tyler Adams' injury history is basically 50% likely that we won't. So
Well,
I take
see
Kellen
for
Acosta.
sure. And I respect that. I think it's situational based on the opponent though too. I mean, if we're playing in the Gold Cup and we're playing a team that we're gonna boss the game, then I'm okay with Jackson being the six. But if
Yeah.
it's a team like, who's tougher, if it's one of the harder ones in CONCACAF, right? It's Mexico,
Yeah.
it's Jamaica, it's Honduras, Costa Rica, then I don't want Jackson
Well, and that's my, I guess, somewhat of my concern for this tournament is we're going to see, in theory, maybe a one or two weaker teams, at least in the group stage. Right. And if we play Jackson Ewell, you know, I imagine we're going to see him start that first game. And he just looks great. He's passing and distributing against a team that's so much weaker.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, well, Jackson Ewell's back. He's great.
Right.
But he's not playing against good competition. When we saw him play against good competition,
yeah,
he withered and it did not work. And so again, that's why I would love to see, a guy like Busio or Williamson. You know, again, with both of them, no appearances, but you know they've shown in the MLS to actually be performing better than you guys. Right. So
yeah, I agree. I'd love to see how they are, and just especially in terms of depth and all that going forward. So. Last spot is the goalkeepers.
Right, yeah, so I will say, I think because both like Legette, it being very flexible player too, and Roldan, they could also, I think we could potentially see them even move into kind of those winger positions because they played that for both the U.S. and for their club teams too. Sure. So we could, because I think a lot of those forward positions guys we talked about aren't necessarily always wingers. So I think that Legette or Roldan could be playing that 8 or 10 kind of role, or moving up into one of the potentially winger roles too.
Yeah, no, that's well said. I don't disagree with that. I think Legette, he's been the one consistent guy that Berhalter always picks.
Right? Yes.
So, probably going to expect to see him play a considerable amount in this Gold Cup.
Oh yeah,
I'm fine with that as a Galaxy fan, but also he brings consistency.
Yeah.
More or less. He's not the most shiny, flashy player, but he's consistent. So
he's consistent and he's clinical in front of goal. I mean, and that's what we're going to need in this Gold Cup if we're going to actually make a run in it with our kind of quote unquote B-minus team in this tournament against other teams, A teams. We need someone with his experience to step into that kind of leadership role out there. As interesting as that is to say, I mean, Giassi Zardes, Paul Areola, right? Those guys who have the experience, the appearances, we might see those guys step up into kind of more leadership roles amidst not having a lot of the first team guys there.
Yep. Oh. And then, in terms of age and leadership roles, that transitions to the goalkeepers now, right? So Matt Turner is the younger one, 26. Then you got Sean Johnson, at NYCFC, he's 32, and then Brad Guzan, man, he's 36 now. So Guzan is the oldest one in the group, and so they'll definitely be calling on him for his leadership and experience and all that type of stuff off the field, I hope.
I think that Guzan is there, hopefully, just for that leadership off the field. I really am hoping we see Matt Turner for all the games. I don't really see a reason why you wouldn't just put him in there into the line of fire. And he's going to be, in theory, seeing a lot of shots coming his way because we don't have our strongest team out there. Maybe not in the group stages, but as the tournament moves on, we're going to be seeing Mexico's best. We're going to be seeing Jamaica. We're going to be seeing Honduras, Costa Rica, their best teams coming at us. Canada in the group stage, right? So I want to see Turner in there. He's been the best MLS goalie for a couple of years now. I want to see him out there performing. And see if he can, because that goalkeeper position for the U.S. is really up for grabs at this point, in my mind. So I want to see if he can be the guy.
Right, right. Well, and it was interesting because I was reflecting back to previous conversations we had in previous podcasts and stuff like about Matt Turner versus, Zach Steffen and what we think about the goalkeeper spot, who's the number one. Oh, it's Zach Steffen. Okay, who's the backup? We're going to see. And then clearly Horvath came out of nowhere, right? And so I definitely agree with you. I want to see how Matt Turner kind of stands up in this Gold Cup and see where he is. How close is he to Horvath and Zach Steffen right now?
Right.
Is it a battle between just those two, or is Turner really in a battle making it three guys vying for the one spot? And that I'm kind of obviously leaving out Sean Johnson and Brad Guzan here. But that's my opinion. I think you're in agreement mostly.
Yeah, I don't think that Guzan or Rashawn Johnson are even in the conversation. I mean, just based on the things that Berhalter said, I think I would expect we see Matt Turner, and I think that what we've seen not just statistics wise, but I mean, some of the highlights and things that I'm seeing from Matt Turner week in, week out. I mean, the guy is making phenomenal saves, and so he's a great shot stopper. I want to
Hell of a
see.
shot stopper.
Yeah,
Very good shot stopper.
great saving PKs too, which could come in play this tournament, right? Can he be the guy that can also play with his feet? And that I don't haven't seen enough film on him to know, can he play with his feet? And that will certainly come into play here because the US want to be able to use their goalkeeper to play with their feet. So is he going to be in the same level as Zach Steffen or Ethan Horvath? I don't know. Not and we didn't see too much of that from Horvath because of that the Mexico game didn't necessarily feed into that sort of style at that point. So I think we've seen the shakiness of Zach Steffen, unfortunately, still with his feet not where we need him to be. So is Matt Turner better? I'm not sure.
Well, for me, it goes back to the most important thing for a goalkeeper is keep the ball out of the net. Playing with your feet and distributing is a secondary thing that I need a goalkeeper to do, or even a third, thing on the list of importance. First, keep the ball out of the net. Shot stop, catch the ball, punch it if you need to, whatever.
What's second for a goalkeeper?
I don't know. Catch the ball.
Communication.
Communicate, I suppose.
And then play with the
So,
feet. Yeah.
and
Yeah,
then
I'm excited to
third
see
thing
that.
is 2 foot, the attacking player on a breakaway. Make
That's
sure that
right.
you
That's right.
wreck him. So.
That's right. Yeah.
But hey, there was a couple players that, I don't know if you call it snubbed or whatever, but
Yeah.
a couple players from, the 60-man roster that didn't make the
Okay.
cut for the
Yeah.
23-man for various reasons. I don't think it was because they weren't good enough, but it was because of various reasons, like Cameron Carter-Vickers. I think if he was able to and he didn't have to return back to England, which I'm pretty sure that's why he's not in this mix. But I think he might start ahead of Miles Robinson or Walker Zimmerman as a center back,
I think you're
right?
right. I think that
So
he would
I would
be,
have loved to see him. I think in our center back depth chart, I think he's up there, man. But we obviously don't get a chance to see him and evaluate him here, so I'm disappointed about that.
Yeah, and I think you're right on CCV. I think that my understanding is he opted or Berhalter talked with him and they wanted him to be over in Europe as he's figuring out his club situation right now and trying to get that all sorted out and making sure
Because
that he has.
Tottenham's trying to sell him, I think, or something.
I believe there, yeah, I believe,
Anyways.
because I mean, he's been on loan. But yeah, I mean, I think for him to find a good club situation and have a good preseason so that he can hopefully be getting first team minutes in a first division somewhere, right? That would be important for him for sure.
No doubt, no doubt. Caden Clark, he's out with it, recovering from, I think it's appendicitis. So would have loved to see Caden Clark get a chance, but we definitely will in the future. I mean, he's still so young. What is he, 18?
18 years old. Yeah. He bright. I mean, just signed for, he'll finish the season with the Red Bulls and then he'll head over to Leipzig and join up with Tyler Adams and Jesse Marsh at the end of
Crazy.
the season, probably in the December, January timeframe. So,
Yep.
that's exciting to see that we have those type of players going over there. I mean, and we didn't mention, Busio is getting potentially offers from multiple Italian clubs who are trying to sign him at the moment. So, and he's 18, I believe, as well, 18 or 19.
No, exciting
So,
stuff.
this is,
Well,
I mean,
and
this is like a trend that we've, yeah.
another young guy too is Cade Cowell for the Quakes. And
Yeah.
he's been lighting it up in MLS. Would love to have seen him. Chris Mueller too. We saw him
Yeah.
play, as a 7 or 11. He got a goal or two, I think, in the friendly. What was it,
He
at
looked
El Salvador against El
great.
Salvador?
I think he had 2 goals in that game. I mean, I'm honestly surprised we're seeing Jonathan Lewis ahead of Mueller. That one surprised me a little bit. I mean, Jonathan Lewis did not have a very good Olympics. He was part of that Olympic failure. And it sometimes isn't even starting for Colorado. So a little bit surprising to see Lewis over Mueller. But I mean, that must mean that Berhalter rates Lewis higher, is my impression.
Yeah, or you know, conversations with Orlando City and they wanted to keep him there, play MLS instead. I don't know. There's a lot of behind the stuff scene, you know, the scenes stuff that we're not, you know, clued into. And so we're only speculating and whatnot, but.
Absolutely. That's our job is to speculate, Cody. We're the best speculators in town, I think.
I suppose. Well, speculate on why Jozy Altidore was on the 60-man roster but didn't make the 23. What's your speculation on that one, big man?
Jozy. Well, I mean, Jozy's had, again, an incredible career for the U.S. men's national team. But unfortunately, I mean, he's hasn't been in form for, you know, over a year now. Is not even playing for Toronto at the moment, I believe. So I don't see how they could have taken him into this 23-man roster, especially if they feel like they have other forwards who aren't even on this roster who are, like, in theory ahead of these guys. So why would you bring in Jozy at this point when you're trying to at least get a look at other guys who could make an impact?
Yep. No, for sure. Well, and the last one, he was just to touch on this one, Musa. He wasn't in this camp on, you know, he wasn't on the 60-man roster. I mean, he's back at Valencia for preseason already. But I'm frustrated. I know you are too, because we wanted to see him either in the Gold Cup. Well, we wanted to see him in the Nations League. Okay, he didn't play in the Nations League. I hope he plays in the Gold Cup. Well, he's not playing in the Gold Cup either.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was this window here, this last month. The Nations League in this window is probably, I mean, the most disappointing thing is seeing that he's not being included in this. I think I expected him to not be included, though, because Berhalter wants him to be in the preseason with Valencia. I mean, right, these club seasons are starting, second week of August. So Berhalter, I think, is feeling that is more important for him to be getting over there, fighting for those first, you know, those starting minutes at Valencia, I think that he knows what he has with Musa, and he really rates him highly. I think it was a mistake that he made not putting him into firstly the Honduras game and then not finding a way to get him into the Mexico game either. I think that there was opportunity, but Musa's time will come, and he's such a high talent that in that center mid, you know, eight or six role, that I think that he could fill in and do a phenomenal job, or kind of the potential, the triple pivot we've talked about. I think his time will come when his name is called, he'll be ready.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just wanted to see the man. I wanted to see the kid.
He could have torn it up in this Gold Cup, man. It would have been fun to watch, but.
Well, we saw him in that friendly.
Oh, that's great.
After, but it's just kind of like, couldn't we have seen him in the Nations League or now in the Gold Cup? We're crying over something that's like, you know, whatever. But it struck a nerve with us.
I mean, I think that, not to get too far off of our Gold Cup roster here, but Musa, he just does provide that extra bit of skill, even the strength and the precision passing that other guys, not only who played in the Mexico game, don't have, but he's again, I think Berhalter opted for experience, and that's fine, and it got the job done. But I am looking forward to seeing the day when he does get his chance, and I hope he takes it well. So
yeah, absolutely.
What do you got? I mean, we've got the group stage coming up starting, I believe, July 10th is the first game. What's our schedule look like?
Yeah, well, July 11th is USA's first game, and it's has not been determined which opponent it is. They're in those preliminary games right now, today and tomorrow, I believe. So it could be Barbados or Bermuda or Haiti or St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Okay.
So whoever comes out of that will be playing. But, I mean, I'm not scared of any of those.
I'm not either. That
should be a nice – I mean, in theory, a nice introductory group stage game to boost some confidence and boss the game, score a bunch of goals, keep a clean sheet, and move on to, you know, Martinique is the second game, July 15th.
Okay.
And then the third group stage game is July 18th versus the northern neighbors, the Canadians.
The Canadians.
That's right.
I think that's going to be a very interesting game when we have a chance to play Canada. One, it'll be kind of just a preview for one. We play Canada again in September, right in that first World Cup qualifying window.
Yeah,
it's the first home game.
Yeah, we play.
I think it's the second game, but it's for our first home game that we get to play.
Correct.
So we're gonna see. Maybe not quite Canada's full A squad, but just about close to it. And so getting a chance to see how our quote-unquote B team does against their A team, I mean, it would make me feel great if our B team were come out on top, which I think really we could.
Yep.
But if, you know, say Canada comes out and just bosses the game against us, that's going to cause some question marks, one, for player selection and just even coaching, but then two, like, hey, can our A team actually come back and get it done come September? Because it's going to be it's not a if, but it's a must. So
oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah, no, definitely looking forward to it. So, man, it's been a while since we've won the Gold Cup, right? And I was going back and looking up some highlights and stuff, and you know, 2017, we beat Jamaica in the final. And,
right. It wasn't Mexico in the final that year.
No, it was Jamaica. Okay. And Jordan Morris, he scored the game winner after he had let his mark loose and conceded a goal off a set piece to Jamaica. And it was Jordan Morris's mark. He left him, or he let him get around him and score.
Mm-hmm.
So then for Jordan to get the game winner later, that's pretty fun. So I was looking at that one, and then, man, I went all the way back to 2007, saw some highlights of that game in the final against Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan scored a PK, and then Benny Failhaber, I don't know if you remember that one, that volley, that insane volley. It came off a corner kick, top big clearance, and he just one-timed it from the top of the 18 to the far left.
Yeah. In what Soldier Field there in Chicago, I believe, right?
Yeah. So whew. I'm looking forward to hopefully some more big time highlights and you know, thrills like those.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, this Gold Cup is the first time in a while, right, that we're not seeing, because of the Nations League, we're not seeing our first team. So it's given a chance for so many different guys to really either solidify their spot in the team, say, hey, I'm gonna be a part of this 23-man roster, or for guys who haven't gotten a look yet, say, hey, you need to be looking at me as potentially even whether it's a starter or like, hey, I'm your first guy off the bench.
Yep.
And this gives guys the opportunity to do that. And so I am looking forward to seeing how all these players from front to back are going to either impress or not and step up to the plate or really fold. And so, an opportunity, you know, will they take it? So looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that pretty much covers kind of the roster, and looking forward to the preview for Gold Cup. So, hey, don't you have another mile to run right now for your marathon?
Yeah, it's 10 p.m., man. Time to go get mile 18 in.
All right.
There you go.
Well,
it's been good. Yeah, good catching up with you, Cody. Always fun talking U.S. Men's National Team. And until I'm sure we'll be able to talk a little more Gold Cup as this goes on here. So thanks for tuning in, folks. This has been U.S. Men's National Team Play the Advantage podcast. See you all again soon.